Good morning. I hope everybody is doing well and had a wonderful Christmas and spent time with their family. And I hope everybody's healthy. And I hope that I'm glad for all of you that are here, but I hope that everybody else didn't get the memo that Russell wasn't going to be here and decided to skip because of me. No, Russell called me yesterday and I said, I'm willing to go if that's what the church wants to do. And, you know, I desire your prayers this morning. I just want to follow the Lord. And if you want to go ahead and turn to your Bibles, I'll be in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke. I know we last week being Christmas, we had the message was, you know, around the birth of Jesus. And I hate to, you know, jump, skip all of his life and go directly to the end of his life. But it wasn't really the end of his life, as we know. I'm going to give you some backstory before I start reading here. Obviously, it being the last book of Luke, Jesus has already been crucified. And thankfully, thank God it didn't end there. He was resurrected. And this is on the third day, the resurrection morning. You know, Mary and Martha and all of them go to the tomb and they see that the stone has been rolled away and they see an angel, and the angel says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. And they you know, they're all excited and rightfully so. And Peter goes and sees the same thing. And but in the 13th verse, it starts talking about two men who are walking to another city. They're leaving this city, and the Bible says in different words, but they're down, and they're you know, rightfully so, they're followers of Christ, but they're not one of the 11 disciples that are left, but they're followers of Jesus. And and naturally, you know, the one you've been following for who knows how long has died, and you're hearing things. They're hearing that maybe he's arisen, but they don't really know what to think. I mean, they're kind of sad, and they're walking. And as they walk, it says in the 15th verse, and it came to pass that while they were communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? So here we see that these two men are walking down the road, and Jesus comes to them and is walking up near them. And the Bible says that their eyes were holding. They didn't know that it was Jesus, but Jesus knew who they were, and they didn't know who it was Jesus. And Jesus asked them, why are you sad? What are these things that you're talking about that's causing you to be so sad? And they go on and they start talking to Jesus about it, and in the 18th verse, it says, and one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou the only stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Jesus asked them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all things to do, and today is the third day since these things were done. So they tell Jesus all the things concerning Jesus. They say that we thought he was going to be the one that was going to save Israel. We put all our hope and our faith in him, and here it is the third day, and he's still dead. Verse there, it starts, I mean, it's so much doubt they have in this man called Jesus, because at this time they don't know that Christ is risen. They just still, they heard all the wonderful teachings, they heard all the, saw the miracles, I'm sure, but they still just don't know that he's risen this day, and they're down, they're doubtful, they have no idea what weighs up, and they still don't know that who they're talking to is Jesus. And that's crazy to me, but that's what the Bible says, that they could not see that it was Jesus. And it says, And we trusted that, yeah, these things were done. It says, yes, a certain woman also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that these had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. So he tells Jesus that he, of all the things that have happened, they said, all right, women that are with, in our little group, they saw, they went and saw, and there's no, Jesus is not in the tomb, and they're even talking about they saw an angel, and you know, they just still don't know what's going on. But then Jesus said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered things and to enter, to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. And so there Jesus, he starts telling them, he says, he starts talking about the prophets and Moses and all the scriptures that no doubt these Jewish people have learned and or been taught, but they still don't see the magnitude of the thing that's happened. They don't understand that Jesus is risen and that all the scriptures and all the prophecies that have been told since Adam and Eve till now have finally come true, that they've finally been realized, and that Jesus is the Messiah, and that Jesus has answered all those calls. That he was who he was supposed to be. And I understand exactly how those two men feel, because so many times in my life as a young man, I don't know God's plan. I can't see what he has in store. I can't see what he has in store for me and my family, or I just can't fathom it. But and I start to doubt, and I think, is he really with me? Is he really got my best interest at heart? Does he really love me? I know that he loves me, but I start to doubt, and I start to have those moments of just being, because I know I'm just as wicked and as evil as anybody, but I start feeling, am I enough? And does he really love me? But then, and that's how these men, they've put all their hope and faith. They think that he was going to be that they believed that he was going to be the one to take Israel back, and they wanted to see all these things happen, and they had all their faith in him. But here he is, he's died. That's just part of the plan. See, Jesus at this moment, he starts talking to these two guys, and he starts explaining to them all the steps that have been laid before him since the beginning of time with Adam and Eve all the way to now. He starts explaining to them step by step by step all the scriptures and all the things that had to happen so that Jesus would not only, when Jesus not only came and lived a perfect life and died, but when he rose again, how it would just cement who he was, and not only in the people's eyes, but in the scripture, and how it would just fulfill everything, and how it was a great bigger plan than just taking over Israel. Thank God Jesus didn't come to die just for Israel, because, hey, I'm not an Israelite, y'all. I'm from Georgia. I'm a Gentile. I'm so thankful that God died. Jesus died for the Jews and the Gentiles, because, hey, I'm one of them, and that's a much bigger plan than just that central Israel. It's so much bigger than just the Jewish people. Jesus died, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, not just the chosen people of Israel, but all of us were able to come into a relationship with Jesus because of what he did. It was so much bigger of a plan, yet all these two little men could worry about and ponder on was that he was going to save Israel. He was going to save Israel for them. But it just didn't happen the way that they wanted it to happen. It didn't happen the way that they thought it should. That happens a lot in my life. I don't know if it happens a lot in your life. The way that I see plans laid out, the way I saw this year lay out before the year started was completely different than how this year turned out. I think we can all say that. This has not been a wonderful year. There's been great things that have happened, but in all, it's not been the greatest year. And I think we all can agree on that. It's been said and said a lot. But my plan for the year was one thing. And then clearly it changed and it went another way. And I get so doubtful sometimes. Is God really looking out for us? Has God really got a plan for us? Does God really love us? Is he just going to leave us out in this wilderness to walk alone? He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. But sometimes I get away from the Lord and I feel like I'm alone. Am I alone in that? I hope I'm not. But I do. I get to where I just get far from him, and I be like the prodigal son, where I get a long way from home and I feel like I'm just not good enough. I feel like I'm just not where I want to be. I'm just not what I want to be doing. I'm just not where where he wants me to be. And I just feel like I can get there, and I get so lonely and I get so afraid because my plan took me a completely different way than the one that he had in store. And then I can only see my side of it. But here we clearly know that Jesus could see all sides of the story. God saw the whole story in the beginning. That's why he started laying little prophecies out and giving prophecies so that later it could be fulfilled. And the greatness of the prophecy being fulfilled was through Jesus, and how much bigger that was in the grand scheme of things, because along the way there were little steps that had to be made for the plan. He's got a plan. He had a plan in the beginning. He's had a plan from the beginning. He's known me my entire life. He'd known me before I was in my mother's womb. He has a plan. And so many times, like I said, I get to where I'm in charge of my plan, and I decide what I want to do, and I do that I want to do, and I don't really consider what the plan is, and I don't pray, and I don't ask the Lord for all of the wisdom that he could give me a lot of times, and that's my fault, and I just get to where I'm all alone and I'm afraid. But Jesus, he eventually shows these people who he is. He takes, the Bible says they go in and they break bread, and he shows who they are. He shows them who he is. And then he leaves, and he vanishes, he disappears. And they look at each other and they start talking, and I'll read it because I don't want to ruin it. It says in the 32nd verse, it said, "And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" They look at each other after Jesus has left them, and they realize they've learned all these scriptures that Jesus taught about the prophecies. They learned that, hey, there was a great plan all along. They realize all that had happened was predetermined and laid out by God to happen that certain way. And it burned in their hearts. They realized it was Jesus, and they realized that whole time that they were not alone. They realized this whole time that they were that there was a plan, and that God hadn't left them. And that burning in their heart, that's comforting to me. Whenever I get back and I get to my father's house and he wraps his arm around me and kisses me, there's that burning in my heart that says, hey, you're with your father. It's comforting. It's comforting to know that you're with the Lord. It's comforforting to know that he's with you. And not only are you with him, but he's got you. He's got a plan for you. There's a song that used to be sang a lot at Yellow Creek. His eyes on the sparrow, so I know he's got to be watching me. And that song meets me and gives me a lot of comfort a lot of times, because I get exactly far from God, and I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, but I know that he's watching me. And when I see, then I get to that place, and I know that my father's got a plan, that I can go back to him and I can find comfort in him, knowing that he loves me. First and foremost, that he loves me. Even in my sin, he loves me, and he sent his son to die for me, and that there's just that peace and comfort that you get with Christ. We have this crazy year. A lot of the year, you know, I found myself in a place where I'm just angry, or I find myself in a place where I just don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know exactly what's coming around the bend, and I get anxious because I have an anxiety problem. I get a little anxious when I don't know the plan. I get, you can ask Jen. I have bad anxiety sometimes about things, but God has given us this thing called peace through Jesus, that he's got a plan, and that no matter what the world got going on, no matter what is going on in the news, God has a plan. Not only does he have a plan, but he's there to comfort you and remind you that he's got a plan. He loves you. He cares for you. And that's peace to me. That gives me so much joy and happiness whenever I can just remember that in the moments where I get so anxious about what's going on, about the things that are out of my control. And just knowing that there's peace to be had with Jesus is the greatest comfort I can have, because I know that he's bigger than the government. He's bigger than this world. He's bigger than all the things that I think are so much bigger than me. And he's got it under control. I promise you, I can assure you of that. If y'all want to come with a song, I believe that's all the Lord's laid on our heart this morning. But I'll go ahead and finish the story as y'all are coming with a song. These two men, they get up and they go to the disciples, and the disciples are Peter's seen it, the Mary's seen it. They all kind of got an idea of that Jesus has risen. They hadn't seen him yet. Not all of them have seen him, but these two men go to the 11, and they sit down and talk with them and tell them what's going on. And while they're there talking, Jesus shows up and comforts all of them.